Now, a major area of Islamic law, and one that we need to mention both here and later on when we deal with the issue of women, that is in the class that we'll have on women, is Muslim family law. Because of the centrality of the community in Islam, the Muslim family, as the basic unit of society, enjoyed pride of place in the development and implementation of Islamic law. Muslim family law includes three major areas: marriage, divorce, and inheritance. While rulers in early Islam and today might limit, circumvent, or replace other areas of law, penal and commercial laws, for example, Muslim family law has generally remained in force. The formulation of Muslim family law has been subject to reform and widespread debate and revision since the 20th century, and we certainly see it today in the 21st century. The place of women in family law reform remains, therefore, an important, extremely sensitive, and hotly contested issue in Islam and in Muslim societies. The status of women and the family in Islamic law was the product of Arab culture, Quranic reforms, and foreign ideas and values assimilated from conquered people. The Quran introduced substantial reforms, providing new regulations and modifying local custom and practice. At the same time, much of the traditional pre-Islamic social structure and its extended family and the paramount position of males in a patriarchal society, I want to underscore the importance of patriarchal society, was incorporated. Marriage and family life are the expected norm in Islam. In contrast to Christianity, in Islam, marriage is not a sacrament but a contract between a man and a woman, or perhaps more accurately, between their families. In the traditional practice of arranged marriages, the families or guardians, not the bride and groom, are the two primary actors. The Quran introduced a number of reforms that enhanced the status of women. It recognized, for example, a woman's right to contract her own marriage and receive the dower from her husband in chapter 4, verse 4. Thus, she became a party to the contract, not just an object for sale. In a society where no limitations on polygamy existed, the Quran sought to control and regulate polygamy, stipulating that a man could marry up to four wives, provided he could support and treat them equally. It's important to note here that the Quran did not require that a man marry four wives, but limited him to that number. The relationship between a husband and a wife in Islamic law is viewed as complementary, reflecting their differing characteristics, capacities, and dispositions, as well as the traditional roles of men and women, again, in the patriarchal family. The primary arena for the man is the public sphere. He's to support and protect the family. Women's primary role is that of wife and mother, managing the household, supervising the upbringing and religious training of their children. While both are equal before God and equally required to lead virtuous lives, in family matters and society, women were subordinate because of their more sheltered and protected lives and their dependency on men who had greater economic responsibilities in the extended family. Now, while divorce is permissible, both the Quran and the prophetic traditions underscore its seriousness. The Prophet Muhammad is reported to have said, "Of all the permitted things, divorce is the most abominable with God." And an authoritative legal manual describes divorce as a dangerous and disapproved procedure as it dissolves marriage. In Arab society, men could divorce at will and on whim, and women had no grounds for divorce. The Quran and Islamic law introduced guidelines based on greater equity and responsibility to constrain a man's unbridled right to divorce and to establish a woman's right to a judicial court divorce. However, these laws were often compromised by social realities and circumvented. Thus, for example, a husband was required by law to pronounce the formula for divorce, "I divorce you," three times, once each month, for a period of 3 months, during which a time for reconciliation was to be pursued. In fact, some men bypassed the Quranically mandated 3-month waiting period, which is found in the Quran, chapter 65, verse 1, by saying, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you," three times all at one time. Now, while Islamic law considered such an act unapproved or deviant, it was nevertheless legally valid. The force of patriarchy was especially evident in the requirement that women, in contrast to men, go before a court and present grounds to obtain a divorce.